Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie, combining kingdom wisdom with marketplace strategies for spiritual, personal, professional, and business success. WWRJ empowers you to seamlessly integrate spirituality with the reality of the marketplace. And during this time, Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie encourages and equips you to become that marketplace influencer God envisioned. And here is your host, Jackie Showers. Good afternoon. I'm so glad you joined me today. It is such a great day. And as always, I just thank God for the love affair he and I share. It's totally beyond compare. And I'm so glad that each of you come to be with us on this show. I am really excited about my guest that's coming, that will be coming, and I will be introducing her in a few minutes. But I'm also excited that you have come to be a part of this show as well on Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie Showers. And that's me. I'm Jackie Showers. The last time I looked, I still was Jackie Showers. But I just want to say before we get started, I want to direct you to our websites at www.themeplace.org. You definitely want to subscribe with us. You want to get connected with us, as we're looking to do many and great things that's coming up. Many of you already have heard about the old Breakout Empowerment and Leadership Experience. We're getting geared up for that again. So we are looking for those who want to volunteer with us to work on that. That's our conference that we do in helping people to seamlessly integrate spirituality with the reality of the marketplace. And so with that being said, make sure you get to our website. We're getting ready to launch branding and marketing on less than a shoestring budget. So you want to make sure that you are part of that. If you are a small to emerging business, if you have a book, whatever it is, and sometimes we don't always have the money to pay someone else, but that doesn't mean that you can't look like a big girl or a big boy. You can still have that professional face and put it on there. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing it for years. I've been training and equipping people for years on how to brand and market themselves on less than a shoestring budget. So you want to be a part of that as well. And then many of you know that I am coming out with my book. It'll be hitting the streets very soon. Prayers for Success, Igniting the World to Achieve Success. So you know how it is. You'll be working sometimes. You're working some of these jobs. Sometimes it's just you're an entrepreneur and you need that right prayer to pray at that right time. Or you just need that daily motivation. This is 366 days of prayers for success. So then you can be successful in everything that God has called for you to do in this hour. And so I'm just so excited about all that God is doing in us, with us, and through us. And for those of you who are looking that you want one-on-one interaction, you also can go to our website at www.themeplace.org. So then you can get your own complimentary coaching session directly with me. So you want to make sure that you're connected to us. Connect with us on all the social media platforms. We are out there. And I know that you're out there, too, because I see many of you. And so I want to and keep me informed about what's going on and what's happening in you, with you, and through you. And, you know, we're always out there from not a downpour to a shower's blessing on Periscope to 11:59, a minute to midnight marketplace prayer boot camp that kicks off the first 4 weeks of every month. So we are out there in order to equip you, not just from a professional standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, so you can be equipped and empowered to be that marketplace influencer that God has called for you to be. And so with that being said, I want to talk more about my guest. I don't want to take up all the time talking about me, but I'm excited about her. I'm excited about meeting her. She and I saw her book, and I was really intrigued by her book, Shackled to Success. So I went and downloaded it, and I began to reading it. I'm still in the throes of reading it, but it is such an amazing book. I think one of the things that really caught my eye as I was reading the book was, and if you read the book, I do encourage you to read the book. There is profanity in the book. a little bit, but normally she has stars, but you can make it out. But I think the authenticity of the book and the authenticity of who Christy Rutherford is, it really helps you to begin to understand what she had to go through as a woman, what she had to go through in order to solidify her position. But in the process of going through it, she lost pieces of herself. And I think many of us as women and even as men that we can identify with that, that there are times that you're working these jobs and you're calling yourself giving it everything that you got, but you find that you're losing pieces of yourself, and that's what happened to her. But then she had an encounter, as many of us have that encounter, that chance encounter, just like the woman at the well had. And when you have that chance encounter, everything just begins to transform, because the plan that you have, God has a better plan than that. You don't always understand it. Just like when Christy says, and she's going to talk some more about this, that all of a sudden here she was. She was about 3.5 years from retirement. She had worked in her career, worked her way all the way up to be an O-5 commander in the United States Coast Guard. Only 13 women in history, in the history of the Coast Guard, ever achieved that rank. But she did it, and she made it all the way there. But in the process of that success, that was success man's way. And all of a sudden, she realized there was emptiness. But she had an encounter with God, and having that encounter with God, he's taking her on another path of success his way. Christy, I'm so glad that you joined me on today, and I'm so excited. And let me tell you, guys, she has great energy. So if you're feeling like you're lacking energy today, you're going to be energized from Christy's energy, let me tell you. So, Christy, what I want you to do is just take a few minutes and tell us about Shackled to Success, how it came about, and just give us give our listening audience a little background about yourself. I do want to say to the listening audience, if you have a question, all you have to do is hit one. I will see your hand raised, so to speak, and I will open up your microphone.
Great, Jackie. Thanks so much for that introduction. I was laughing in the background as you were talking, because it's so interesting how we're used by God, and actually having that chance encounter during my career. It's just been an amazing experience, painful, but amazing. And so thank you so much for the introduction. And one correction, I was the 13th Black woman to ever make commander in the number 13. And now we have about 17 that have made it. But yeah, I was number 13 of Black women who had made commander in the history of the Coast Guard, in their 245-year history. So I'll give just a little bit of background. You gave a great introduction to me. So when I joined the Coast Guard, I joined while I was in college, and I had a great time. I had a great career, and I loved my job. I loved everything that I did. I loved serving other people. I loved the humanitarian service. I loved the people that I work with. But then there were some people who, you know, sometimes we get bosses who we don't necessarily like, and they can leave greater scars than the people who you do enjoy. So I had 20 out of the 20 supervisors that I had three who were actually workplace bullies. And I never heard of workplace bullies until I started doing a little bit of research and writing this book. And they were bullies. They harassed me, and they harassed everyone, really, but they harassed me. And it's unfortunate, because people who tend to be bullies continue to be promoted, and they continue to wreak havoc on other people's lives. But my demographic was 0.1%, so it was 50 Black women or so out of nearly 47,000 people. So I, when we walk around, a lot of people have never seen us before, so we get a different reaction. And so I fought a lot for respect. I fought a lot for acknowledgement. I fought a lot, and yeah, I cursed a lot, which is what we talked about. So this is this is that book that actually leads into the next books, because I always, through this past couple of years, I've always wanted to tell people how to manage themselves, but how can I tell you how to heal your brokenness if I don't tell you how I became broke, or I don't tell you how broken I was? And that was really scary, to put my business, out in the streets for people to judge, right? Because you don't know. But that was God's plan. And so I'll let you ask your questions. But it's interesting on this book that when I finished, and this is what we talked about the other day, When I wrote this book, we went through 100 titles and chapters. And when I finished the book, this was not the book I wanted to write. And once I got done, I had to change the title of the book and the titles of the table of contents and the titles of the chapters, because I really felt 2 days before I published the book, I was really nervous about it because I'm showing out, right? But I'm telling you what happened, and I was really nervous about it. And then I had this calm, because what I realized, this is the book that God wanted me to write. This is not the book that Chrissy wanted to write. So it's just been, it's been very interesting, and we'll see how it plays out.
As you were talking, and I know you and I had a chance to talk a little bit last week, but I think one of the things that our listening audience, as you go through and you talk about all the different things that you had to go through as a woman, being in the United States Coast Guard, and I do believe that the things that Chrissy went through, it's no different than what you go in corporate America and even in the kingdom of God. And I think that many women, what they encounter this ceiling, rather it's glass, cement, or what, but you encounter this ceiling, and in the process of encountering this ceiling, you hit this threshold, and you know that you're at the top of your game, but yet and still, there are people there, almost like they have been strategically placed to keep you from moving into the top of your game. Give some insights about what do you do in those type of situations.
Well, what's interesting, one of the things that I learned as I left, I call myself a battle-scarred high achiever, and I burn out. I burn out so bad, it wasn't even funny. And I don't think I knew how bad I burn out or how broken I was until I started to heal. And for women, power women, we're inhuman. We're superwomen, and we hold everyone else up, and we're not supposed to be vulnerable. But what I learned over the past couple of years is I've talked to a lot of high-achieving women, and we all had the same story. And so I thought that my story was my story. And then as I talked to other women who worked in high levels of government, or people who are nurses or doctors, a lot of women from around the world, really, you know, people in New Zealand I've talked to and in Australia, we have the exact same challenges. And so it's not just a military thing. And so I weave some data from Harvard Business Reviews and some studies that they've done on women of where we get stuck. How does our first 2 years, we enter a career, most women lose their motivation in the first 2 years. And then you have the women, most women get stuck in the middle. And so you have all these studies that are trying to identify, well, what's happening to these women and why they're getting stuck in the middle. And a lot of women are settling for the middle, but the women who break it out, who break out of the middle, they have a lot more challenges, and we have a lot more pain and a lot of hidden secrets that we don't tell anyone. And those are the women that I want to talk to, because I know that we have success, but we're still battle scarred. We're still carrying the baggage around. We still have pain that we haven't resolved. And that's the stuff that we can't talk about. And that's the stuff that kind of eats away at us. And it doesn't allow us to feel successful. So even though I was successful, and even though I had, you know, six figures, and I had the car that I wanted, and the places and all this stuff, and I traveled, you know, internationally all the time, I was so miserable. And so from the outside, everything was perfect. But on the inside, I was dying on the inside as I went home, because of what I had to go through to get to that level. And it is true in some regards. I think that at a certain point, some women don't belong in, we need to become entrepreneurs, but that's difficult in itself, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, right, it's whenever you feel like, because I felt like it, I said, this is not a glass ceiling. This is a cinder block. this is concrete that I'm beating on. And what I had to realize was, am I now fighting for what I want, or am I fighting for what other people want for me, right? So I was placed on this pedestal because I was successful, because I was this, you know, black female leader, because I was leading all these people. I had to get to this point where I'm getting choked out, and I'm so miserable. Chrissy, is this your battle? Do you really want this, or are you staying in this game for everybody else? And when I realized I was doing it for other people and it wasn't what I wanted, then I think a lot of stuff was already shifting, but I was really being called to do more because I was being stifled. And so what I've learned over the past couple of years is God said, yeah, you're lead of 2,000. Yeah, I got 2 million for you. So it's time to go. But that came through pain.
Yeah,
I laugh,
I
but
think that,
yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh, no, I just, you know, it's one of those things where we hold on and we fight to hold on to something that God is saying it's time for you to move on to something bigger. But in order to move on to something bigger, you have to let go of what you thought your life was going to be.
And, you know, and I you were saying about the painfulness. And I think that sometimes the painfulness that we get so accustomed to, the painfulness that we become numb. And in the process of becoming numb, it's almost like the painfulness just becomes such a part of your reality that as it being a part of your reality, you don't even realize you're numb until you get until you walk out of it. Now, we know that you walked out of it after like about 3.5 years. I mean, when you came to that decision to walk away. Exactly. I mean, I know that it was a lot of soul searching, and I know it probably was a lot of, are you sure, God? That's a lot of time to put in, knowing that you're 3.5 years from retirement, you're 3.5 years from your pension, and then God says, okay, I need you to get up out of here and leave. I mean, how did you reconcile with yourself to get to that place where you actually did it?
It was about a 6-month period. It started that January, and I had been, you know, I was in pain, but pain is normal. I hung around a bunch of broken people. We're all, we're all broken, and we're all, getting this money, and we're almost numb in our misery. And I want to call myself like a pin cushion. Like, you could have stuck me with a pin, I wouldn't have felt it, because I've done this already. And so over time, and I think as I started to realize and started to really, what happened was when I got my coaching certification, and it was right before I moved to my last job. So I didn't know what authenticity was, because I lost who I was in my job, because by spirit, this is who I am: corny, funny, happy, 99.5% of the time. But I had become somebody completely different. I had become a barbarian. I had become somebody who would just dropkick you. I would tear a room up, you know. And so when you get to the point where people in high school or college would have talked to the people who worked with me, they would have been talking about two completely different people. That's unfortunate. And so when I got my coaching certification, and I ended up going to Guatemala, right around that same time. And so I studied in Guatemala for 7 weeks. And so I'm around people who were in a third world country, and they were happier than me. You know, they live off of, you know, $10 a day, and I'm making $10,000 a month, and I'm miserable and they're happy. What's the problem? You know?
Yeah.
So that was that break. And so finding the funny and free spirited part, reconnecting with her and then bringing her back to the surface, and then going to, oh, God was setting me up, and then going to Guatemala and seeing, you know, how people who had not even a tenth of what I had were happier than I was. And then when I go back to, I was loaned to Congress, so I worked on the Hill when I got this coaching certification. So then to go back to my career and not being able to stay authentic. So I think in some regards, we give away pieces of who we are unconsciously to succeed. We assimilate, right? To succeed.
Right.
And so, and we're oblivious that we've given those pieces of ourselves away. All we know is there's something missing, but we don't know what it is. You know, we see we're successful, but I don't understand why I'm not as happy as women in a commercial. You know, and so we're unconsciously giving away pieces of who we are. Well, when I got my coaching certification, I brought all that stuff back, and I became conscious of who I was and authentic. And so when I went back my last two years, now I'm consciously giving away what I knew I fought so hard. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm consciously giving.
Right.
I have to fight you now, and I don't want to. I really just want world peace, but I have to fight you to not do my job. And so that became more painful for me, because now I didn't want to kick a door in, which is in one of the chapters, but I had to, because nobody would listen to me. I didn't want to cuss people out, but I had to, because people only respond when I would curse them out. And so now I'm consciously giving away pieces of my soul. And then when my last boss came in, and I had worked for him before, and a bully, right? And in the last 6 months, I was so miserable. And either when it got to the point where I was going to surrender, either I was going to leave that job or I was going to die. And it's so, and I look back and my ears are ringing. I mean, I had headaches every day. I was sick every 2 to 3 weeks. I had flu-like symptoms. So my body was shutting down and my body was in code red, but it was so scary and it was so unheard of to leave that career. But it was, Christy, you're going to have to resign and do the absolute unthinkable or you are going to die. And the day that I got the phone call and my arthritis had come back and I talk about it in the book when I had that encounter is I was in the bed and I just got off the phone with somebody. I'm crying because I'm crippled again. And a voice said, Christy, this is clear as day. It's time to stop fighting. Put your gloves down. And I said, okay. You know, and I answered it out loud. Okay. Go ahead. Well, what I've learned is that voice had been talking to me a long time. I didn't know who it was because I wasn't spiritual and I wasn't religious and I didn't read the Bible and I didn't, you know, and I was saying that I wanted to be closer to God, but I didn't know what that meant, right? And I didn't, you know, I didn't know, you know, who God was, or I didn't know the difference between Jesus, God, and Holy Ghost. I didn't know. Once I realized that was him, and then I started to look back at a lot of other times that someone had spoke to me, he was with me the whole time, even though I didn't know who he was. He was always there. So it's been amazing.
Yeah, and you know that's a key, that's so key, is that we separate from him, but he never separates from us. And he's always, you know, when you go back, you always know that he's leading you, he's guiding you, and he's directing you every step of the way. I know as I was reading the book, I came across a passage where you talked about a woman named Julie, and you were saying how you had a bully boss, because I think many of us have had to deal with bully bosses, and how he, although she was, her husband was deployed, and he's had her on 24 hours, and he wouldn't relinquish that. I want you to share how, as sisters, be we African-American sisters, and I know as African-Americans, oftentimes we say, oh, well, you know, black women can't work together. Black women not going to stand up for each other. But in that book, you really stood up for her. Not only you stood up for her, but there were others who stood with you in making sure that she got through one of the most difficult periods in her life. How important do you think it is for women, and especially African-American women, to stand together?
Well, it was interesting. Julie was actually a Caucasian female, but I think it's so you have two parts to this, and that's what I talk about. Women in general need to stick together. Black women especially need to stick together, because women who are in a male-dominated work environment, we have a lot of the same challenges. But then when you're a minority woman, that just amps up. It increases the number of challenges that you have, and so. You know, it's funny because I was in the office, that office, and I didn't talk about it, but I was in that office with six black women, and it was six of us at one office, which was unheard of, because it was only probably about 40 of us in the organization at the time. It was six of us in one office. They were doing this experiment, and we didn't all get along, which was crazy. And so their experiment was black women, you know, they say they want to be around each other. We're going to put six in the same office. And we're going to see what they're going to do. So I didn't know we were part of an experiment. And so it was one, what's her name in the book? The lady who was the one that reacted all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. I can't think of her name.
She was older. Yeah, she was a bit dramatic. So she and I hung out. But it was some other women another one of us hung out. But we didn't all get along, and it was unfortunate, because women in general need to stick together, but black women especially need to stick together. But it's so but I think one of the challenges that we have, Jackie, is that when we assimilate, we don't because we don't necessarily recognize ourselves. It's easy to not like something that's like you, right?
That's true.
But a lot of Yeah. And so I saw a lot as I continued to grow in the career. A lot of the senior Black women didn't, you know, we hung out, but it wasn't all Mary. But the younger ones, it's just different. So I don't know if I can quantify that for you, but I did mentor a lot of young Black women, and they don't have the same challenges that I had because they're not as they were taught how to manage themselves in those battles. So.
Mm-hmm. And so now in looking at you, say you mentored, and I know in the book there's a part where you talk about where some people came along and mentored you to show you what you needed to do, how you needed to fill out your evaluations, and as a result, it began to open up some more doors for you. How important is having a mentor in your life?
Mentorship is so important, and that's one of the 90% of the women, 90% of executive-level women in 60 of the major corporations, 90% of those women had significant sponsorship and mentorship. And then I had another study where I saw only, you know, they say Black women have challenges getting sponsorship and mentorship, and only 11% of Black women had sponsors. So for me, I didn't know what a mentor was until these men called me. And they heard about me through other people. But they called me. They were like, "You're a little aggressive." And I was, right? Because I'm fighting every day for respect. And they said, "You know, you have the opportunity. We looked at your background. We've talked to you. You have what it takes to be successful, but we need to harness that energy and now focus it, right? So if I'm a lightning bolt, I'm going everywhere. I'm going in 100 different directions." And so they were able to take that and they started to bring it in some and kind of laser beam it. And so they taught me, you know, this is how you can manage your boss. These are some of the books that you need to read. This is what you need to write in your evaluations. These are the events that you need to go to. This is, you know, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. And so they started to guide me because they've been there already, right? So it's, right. They've been there, done that, and they were able to guide me, you know, like we're building this yellow brick road. They're already further along. Chrissy, they get on the yellow brick road. Why are you in the jungles fighting the lions, tigers, and bears? Now, the difference was they guided me from a male's perspective. And so what I learned is when I got into that executive level, because and all my mentors were men. I had 10 to 12 mentors. Like every year I would collect some more, and I would call all of them. Whenever I made a huge decision, I would call 5-6 of them and get their opinion, and then I would make my own decision based on all of their input, right? And so mentorship is one of those things where you're able to get clarity on who you are and where you're going. And so there have been so many people that have been promoted, and they've gotten the jobs that they've wanted, and they've been able to live a life more peacefully because I was a mentor. And they would call me Friday night at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I was able to guide a lot of people in their careers and give back the same way that my mentors gave to me.
And, you know, and I think that that's really critical in giving back. I think sometimes we can be big takers and we don't give back. But just like you being mentored, you also have to mentor, and especially those that's coming behind us. It's so critical. So then we can make sure that they're getting everything that they need in order for them to go to that, in order for them to go to that next level. Now, I know that you made the shift. So after you left the U.S. Coast Guard, you made the shift, and now you're doing coaching. And so in the process of doing coaching, you do a lot of leadership coaching, and you spend tons of money. When I say she spent tons of money, she's highly equipped to coach. She's highly equipped to coach. She has spent tons of money, spent tons of hours, no different than when she was in the U.S. Coast Guard, but now she's made a shift. And she is in the Army, but now she's in the Army of the Lord, and she's putting on the whole armor in training and equipping other leaders, but also being that marketplace influencer that you are strategically placed out in the marketplace, and you are not only, and I think this is when she and I talked that I found interesting, is that Chrissy doesn't cuss anymore. She says she's not the cusser she used to be. So God took that away from her, but it did not negate. You said what now?
He broke that off of me.
it doesn't negate what she brings to the table any less. Actually, actually she's even bringing more to the table. So now that you've made this shift, give us some ideas of where you're headed, and what your future looks like as you're moving forward, because now you're really working for God, which we're always working for God, but now you know that He has directly positioned you, and He pulled you out of that environment where there are times you work 90 hours a week, but now you're working for Him.
Yeah.
What's the difference do you find?
It's interesting on the cursing piece and oh yeah, I will cuss you out. Oh yeah, I will give it to you. And so one of the things that I wanted to really, I was still nervous about putting that in the book, but I did, right? And it's because people don't know that they can change. Like, if you would have told me 4 years ago that I would have stopped cursing, I'd have been like, yeah, whatever, because it's so prevalent, and it was so necessary at the time. But I wrote this mission out. I do want to read it to you right quick to tell you the difference. I went to a conference and I had to write out what my mission was. And I was always mission oriented, and all of my friends were in the military, and that's all I knew. But I said, my mission is to illuminate the light in millions of people all around the world by coaching and nurturing their inner spirits and egos to restore people back to their authentic selves, thereby allowing them to experience health and mental wellness, balance in life and work, and financial prosperity. And so I wrote that out, but then I drew another one and I said, be the change I want to see in the world. And so I didn't know what I was missing. I didn't know how I got so far off track. I didn't know. And so I spent a lot of money the past couple of years, going to camps and then going to programs, but then I had to spend a lot of time introspectively and allowing God to do the work in me and becoming who I really wanted to be. And so did I know that this person, this being that's talking on this phone right now was possible? No, not 4 years ago, because this person was an illusion that I wanted and is who I desired to be, which is reconnecting, with your spirit and reconnecting with your soul. Well, what does that look like? I wasn't sure. Now that I'm here, now the transformation, the scripture says, when thou art converted, go back and strengthen thy brethren. Right. And so my goal, I had a couple of businesses that I launched that they didn't go so well, but it wasn't that they weren't bad ideas. I made this pact with God about October 14, 2014. I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, God, use me. I want to serve your people. Right. I'm repeating stuff that I've seen. I still don't know the difference between God, Jesus, and Holy Ghost. Right. But I knew that there was something stirring, or there was something in me that wanted to be released. There was somebody stirring around in there, and I could feel it, but I couldn't. You can't articulate this stuff at the time, right? And so I was like, there's something that's stirring around, and I want to be more, so let me pray. And then a couple of years ago, my businesses were not working at all, and I was successful. So I'm a super nerd. So I'm used to winning all the time, and I'm not winning at anything. And I said, God, look, I don't have a job. My businesses are failing because he's closing these doors because he wanted me to do something else. What do you want me to do? And as clear as day, he said, your job is to be happy. And I said, okay, I'm not sure what that means. okay, whatever, right? And so as I started to do the work on myself and started to see how did you get so far off track? How do you hang around these people who weren't really your friends? So really it was a look. I had to look in the mirror at every result that I had in my life was created by a root. Well, what is the root cause to me not being as close with my family? What is the root cause for me not, being able to maintain a good relationship? What is the root cause of me? So I had to do a lot of work, which is excruciating to look at yourself and take responsibility for every single thing that is going right or wrong in my life. What's going wrong and how do you fix it? And once I started to move those pieces out of the way and I started to trace it all the way back to the root, and now I'm this ridiculously happy and free. It is ridiculous how happy I am. This is how happy I wanted to be. And that's what I'm now teaching other people who've lost their way, people who I was talking to someone yesterday who was reading my book. And she's not happy. And I said, you know what? We're not happy. We don't even know why we're not happy. Like, you know, we
That's
go
right.
to work and we fight. And we don't even know why we fight anymore. We don't even know why we're miserable anymore. And, you know, what's interesting, Jackie, about the book is that it's not only resonating with women, it's resonating with white men, too. But a lot of my friends
wow.
are white men because that was the demographic in the Coast Guard. So they call me more than anybody. And they're connecting with
wow.
me more than anybody. And that's what this book is, the foundation for the next 60, right? And so the next book that I'm launching next, hopefully we can get that next month, because I need to make it quick to resolve the cursing piece. But it's healing your brokenness, you know, and how do you really, because we have success. My friend, you know, he's a lawyer, and the other one works at a three-level government organization, and they're not happy either. And so we look
yeah.
at people who are different races or who, you know, you would think they have it all. And they're saying the same thing. Like, there's something like, is this it? You know, and I'm like, no, that's not it. But let me go to the root of your displeasure. Let me show you the root of why you're not happy. Because if you can get to the root and you can pull it by the root, then your result and your reality will change. And so that's the goal over the next, you know, forever,
mm-hmm.
however long, you know, God wants to lead me, is to show people how we lost our way. And how we lost our peace and how we lost our joy, because if you can figure out how you lost it, you can get it back. And so that's what this company, part of the leadership company, is about. And then I have e-courses and the books that I write. And so we peel the layers back. And once you peel it back and you're able to identify it, now you're able to clean that up and live a better life and live the life that you truly want.
And you know, and you hit it on the head. Most people don't want to do the hard work, but yet you remain in situations, you remain in jobs, and you keep justifying them, you know, year after year after year. You justify being there, but you know that there's an emptiness. I know I worked with this association, and that's probably really the last real job, I say, so to speak, I had. But I remember feeling so empty inside, and I had the same feeling you did, and I knew that if nothing had changed for me, I would have died. That I would have just it was like I would have died. And I left that job. I left that job on. Interestingly enough, probably it was like this Monday, 16 years ago, that I was lying in my bed saying, okay, God, I've been doing this job thing, and apparently I'm not doing it right. It was because I lost my job on Friday, the third Friday in June. It was that Monday. And I'm saying, apparently I'm not doing this job thing right. I'm turning it over to you. And
yep.
it's a lot to turn things over to God, because then you really have to allow him to peel those layers back. And it is excruciating. It's excruciating when he peels them back. And I look at my life, I look at where I am, and I tell people, I say, I never thought I'd be here, but I'm a much better person. I have lots of joy. I have lots of peace. And I'm thankful that I turned everything over to him, because I believe that I would have, if I had not been dead, I probably would have been lost my mind had I not, because that's the emptiness that we feel inside. And people are just sort of like, they're like the walking dead. And she brought out, it's not just women, but it's men too. I want to make sure that people know exactly how to contact you. So let's make sure we get your contact information in there, and that they can also go to Amazon and get your book.
Okay. Yeah. My website is Christy Rutherford, Christy, Rutherford, Rutherford, ChristyRutherford.com. And on that website, you can check out a little bit of who I am, some testimonials. I also have e-courses that I created for people who want to get their information on the fly, and they don't want to do the one-on-one coaching. I also offer group coaching and one-on-one coaching to people who are really just looking to change their life and become happier. Because when we work to become successful, we did it to become happy. And why are we miserable?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, why are we miserable? I've worked to become miserable. There's something wrong with this picture. And so my goal is, again, to help people unravel the web that we weaved around ourselves, because it's invisible. We don't know why we're not happy. We don't know what we're missing. And so my goal is to help people figure out what it is that they're missing, and then get it. And so you can actually be happy with the success that you have, or choose to go a different path. And so go to my website, and then it's also, you can Google, or not Google, you can go to Amazon.com. The print is available today. For some reason, they haven't merged the two pages between Kindle mm-hmm. and the print. And so, but if you search Shackled to Success, you can read the 5-star reviews on the Kindle until Amazon merges it with the print in the next couple of days. So they're both available.
Yeah, and, it's, and as I told you, I've been reading the book, and I do plan to finish reading the book because, I mean, it's as I'm reading it, and I'm identifying with it, and I meet so many people that they just lack that joy, they lack the happiness, they, and yeah. and we see it all the time. I mean, we look at when we look at celebrities, and I think celebrities is a big example. We look at them, their lives are glamorous, and then you hear about people who fall like a prince. Like a Michael Jackson, like a Whitney Houston, and you see when they fall, like a Robin Williams, and you sit there thinking, "Wow, they had the world." But I think we have to redefine what is having the world all about. And one of the ways that you redefine what is having the world all about is we have to redefine it according to God. And we're starting to run out of time. We only have a few minutes to go, and we have to wrap up, and then. But I do want to say thank you, Christy, for coming. I got to bring you back on the show. So when you publish your new book in a few months, because someone told me, they said, well, why wouldn't you bring her on like around Veterans Day or around Memorial Day? Or and I said, because I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking in terms of the of her being a success. I wasn't thinking in terms of her being attached to the military. So I'm definitely going to have to get you back. Because there's still so much more that I want you to share with our listening audience. But I do want to thank you for coming and being with us. So if you could take about a minute to a minute and a half and just wrap everything up for our listening audience before we close out.
Okay. And you know, Jackie, I do appreciate you extending the opportunity because one of the things I want to break out of is this is not just military success. This is a just, you know, it's not veteran based. This is God based, and it's also people based. So I want people to look past that military persona, and it's a lot of other women that suffer, and it's not just military. But you know, to wrap it up, at the end of the day, I think that we deserve people who are successful. We do it for our families, and we do it to make money, and we do it to provide a better quality of life for ourselves. But somewhere we got lost along the way, and a lot of people have success, but they don't feel like they're successful. They don't feel like they thought it would feel. It doesn't look like you thought it would feel, or it doesn't look like you thought it would look. And it's one of those things that is something that we're missing on the inside. And whether it's God, whether it's your soul, whether it's inner peace, it's inner joy, you know, those are the things that I want to assist people with getting a handle on, because you've worked hard to become success. Now you should actually enjoy your success as opposed to looking at it and saying, is this it? And so I do recommend the book to really identify. A lot of people can see themselves in my story. A lot of people can see themselves doing what I've done, but now what's the clarity on it? And I offer a lot of insight where I talk about understanding backwards. Well, what do I see today that I didn't see 4 years ago? What do I see today that I didn't see 10 years ago? Because once you can get clarity and perspective, now you'll see, you'll get clarity on whether or not this battle is worth fighting, and you'll get a little bit more energy to fight the battle if you choose to stay in it, but you'll be smarter in the way that you go about it. So I appreciate you, Jackie, for interviewing me. This has been amazing, and I do think that we should talk again.
Oh, definitely keep in touch with each other. And thank you so much for coming and being a part of Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie on today. And I thank all of our listening audience for coming. Sometimes our listening audience is quiet, but I thank you for coming and being a part of with us. Do get to our website, www.themeplace.org, and make sure you get your copy of Prayers for Success, Igniting the World to Achieve Success, 366 prayers, daily prayers for marketplace influencers. And I look for you to come and be back with us next week on Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie. We encourage you to visit our website at www.tsgm.org to subscribe to our weekly e-blast, Showers Blessings, and keep apprised of our activities and events.
Learn more about the Me Place Empowerment Institute at www.themeplace.org. And it is always our prayer for you to have a successful, prosperous, and productive week.